Welcome back to the Lock and Lock Sports Betting Podcast. It's a bonus episode for you guys. You're welcome. Just want to brag real quick. Wednesday, November 13th. I absolutely crushed it in the college basketball scene. Of course, in the NBA totals as well. But you got to pay for those. With that being said, this is a quick intro because I already did an intro. It turned into a 59-minute and 59-second fucking just me yapping. You guys know I do stand-up comedy. I've said this before. When I fucking get off stage, I got home at about 2:30. I got off stage at about 2. It's now 6 a.m. I still can't relax. Like, the adrenaline. Ugh. So, I decided to record a long-ass podcast. So, what you're going to hear first is my NBA rankings. You're going to then hear my college basketball rankings. And then I'm just going to go ahead and play the 60-minute me rambling. Enjoy it. It could be entertaining. It might not. But I'll put it at the end for you guys and be fair. And if you don't want to listen to it, don't listen to it. Hope you enjoy this bonus episode of the show, you guys. Thanks for listening. Wasn't super happy about the numbers from yesterday's podcast, Wednesday's. But it's all good. I did release it quite late. And I really can't complain about the most recent 2 or 3 months of the podcast. The numbers have been great. Ever since I did that advertising and marketing on forums, sports betting forums, I had that huge bump. Then it kind of settled out again. It just kind of evened out again at that number. Then it started decreasing a little bit. I started getting worried. And then made some changes to the show, added some new content, brought some guests on, and we're back to that slow increase, that slow burn. So I'm looking for a nice couple of new bumps. I reached out to a couple other podcasts and Periscope. I think Periscope. Well, whatever they do it on. And I also reached out to SBR Sports, trying to do some kind of co-sponsorship where I talk about one of their shows. I got Jimmy the Bag in my head. That's one of the guys I reached out to. And the other one was Jay Money, my boy Jay Money. He'll be on soon. But I figure he reads my podcast on his show. I read his podcast on my show. It's the worst thing that can happen. We each gain. I even offered to pay the, you know, typical advertising, you know, fee. If they don't want to do it that way. But could be free and we could each just get some new listeners. So if you guys know any podcasters or anybody who's got a big following that is interested in helping out grow the podcast, let me know. If you're interested, by the way, in becoming my guy, I will pay you a decent little amount for you to just simply spend 5-6 hours one day, just one day, create accounts and log into as many sports betting forums as humanly possible in those 8 hours. And anywhere you possibly can post in any thread, I don't care where you put it, check out the Lock and Lock Sports Betting Podcast, blah, 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 quick little intro, maybe 2-3 sentences, and that's it. Just blast it on every single thread, and that's been super effective. So that's it. Enjoy the show. This is, you know, not a super important episode, but I figure I'd give you some more content. It's been lacking lately. Love you guys. You're the best. I expect fucking tips this morning, you guys. I expect tips, you guys. By the way, I told Matt and Matt only, I recorded about a 55-minute other episode. And you guys aren't going to want to hear it. If this keeps going the way it's going financially. And listen, I'm not going to get into it now. This episode of this podcast is not this one. You might get it in 4 or 5 days. You might get it sooner, depending on how I feel. You might never get it. Hope for you guys, you never get it. But if you do get it, it's some serious shit. So prepare for that. All right, guys, let's eat together. Enjoy. All right, so I got to re-listen to that back. I think I actually gave you the top 10 college basketball teams, but I'm going to get to this quickly. I got to listen to that hour-long rambling shit back and see if I want to even release it or if I can edit it down to a better thing or just release it as is. We'll see what happens. I'm pretty confident in myself. I've released some crazy episodes on here with shit that I didn't like. I wasn't happy with the content. And I've never gotten any really terrible fucking feedback or anything. So yeah, I just want to give you guys my top 10. I was going to go top 15. I guess I'll go top 15. College D1 basketball teams so far. It's only November 13th, only about 5, 6, 7 days into the season. But my number one has been so strong, and I've seen enough so far to give you guys my fucking almost a week in my personal eye test. So don't give me shit. These are what I think. All right, what I think. What was I gonna say? I give a lot more credit to effort. I like senior and junior base teams. You saw what happened to Kentucky. Just telling you right now, I give more credit to that. I'm a Maryland Terrapin fan. I don't want to put them too high because they're gonna fuck this up eventually, sooner than later. So, and with that being said, like I told you guys, I saw the top four teams play. I saw Louisville practice in a private practice open to 75 guys. You heard about that in the hour-long thing. I watched Kansas, North Carolina, Maryland, Gonzaga, Virginia, Villanova, Texas Tech, Seton Hall, Memphis, Oregon, Florida, Ohio State, Utah State, St. Mary's, Arizona, Washington, Xavier, Auburn, LSU, Baylor, Colorado. That's the top 25, according to the AP. Marquette, VCU, Florida State, Texas, Providence, Purdue, wow, terrible. Marquette was down by 13 at the half tonight. Marquette outscored them in the second half 40-17, I think it was. They wound up winning by 10. Outscored them by 25 points in the second half. I love it. I always told everybody, Marquette's my favorite thing. I was a little afraid. San Diego State, Creighton, Dayton, Vermont, Georgia, Mississippi State, Arkansas. These are all Utah. Remember I said Utah. Houston. These are all, you know, teams that can be in the top 25. If not, they're absolutely the top 40, 50. Okay, so here's my college top 10 on November 13th. Louisville, number one. 100% Louisville, number one. I don't see anybody beating this fucking team. Listen, man. I saw all I needed to see in that practice. I went into some long-ass detail in the first part of this episode. And listen, man. I looked this team over a lot, not just at that practice, before that practice. I love their coach. I love their new AD. I love what they're doing. Like I said, they're over the whole fucking Rick Pitino bullshit scandal. They had a great recruiting class this year. Louisville is my number one and has been my number one before. As soon as that buzzer hit, it was, what was that? What were those two games? It was fucking Kentucky versus Duke. No, it was Kansas, Duke, Kentucky, Michigan State, right? Kentucky beat Michigan State and Duke beat Kansas. Okay. So they put Kentucky and Duke number one and number two. Michigan State number three. Louisville, they have more respect for them, number four there. And then Kansas dropped down to five. Here's my top five. I'm just going to go right for it. Louisville, number one, 100%. No doubt about it. They're going to be my number one. Even if they lose a game, they're not going to lose a game. They're amazing. This team is fantastic. Louisville, number one. No doubt about it. They're so good. Fuck the rankings, how they always switch and everything. They'll fucking hold the number one rank for the most weeks out of any other team this year. I'm saying it here first. And they will win the national championship. If they don't win the national championship, they'll be in the national championship and win a tight game. I think they're in the national championship. They win that game by 15+. Louisville, number one. Number two. My number two team. This was tough. I got to be honest here. Michigan State. Even though they lost that game to Kentucky, Michigan State. And I'm going to tell you why. Cassius Winston. They have two other returning starters. Cassius Winston is one of the best players in the country. Marcus Howard might have that best player in the country right now locked up for Marquette. But yeah, he's one of the best in the country. 100%. So, and he's not the only one. Michigan State's great. Michigan State's number two. Okay. Louisville, one. Michigan State, two. Now we got, let me mark these off so it'll be easier so I don't fuck anything up, because that's what I do. I fuck shit up, you guys. By the way, I want you guys to check out the new logos for the podcast. Let me know what you think of it. Okay, so Louisville 1, Michigan State 2. They're 3-4 currently right now, by the way. And this is before Kentucky is change in the rankings due to that Evansville terrible loss. So Kentucky's still number one in the top 25 I'm looking at right now. So we got Louisville 1, Michigan State 2. I got to put Kansas 3, and I got to put Kansas above Duke, even though Duke, you know, okay, you beat them one game. Kansas looks like a bigger, better team. It was the first game of the year. Duke got lucky. So it's fucking Louisville 1, Michigan State 2, Kansas 3, Duke 4. Now I'm going to get a little bit crazy. I wanted to put North Carolina over Duke, but I couldn't do it. You know what? Matter of fact, you guys, here we go. Let's get real crazy. North Carolina, number 3. They've showed me a lot already in this short season. Okay. Yeah. Now, I'm going to get shit for this, but I guarantee you. I'm fucking right, you guys. Watch. I'm fucking right more often than I'm wrong with this stuff, you guys. I promise you that much. Been doing it for 20-plus years. Okay, so Louisville, 1. Let's see. Michigan State, 2. That's 1-2. Not, I can't change that at all. Michigan, Louisville, Michigan State, 1-2. Okay, North Carolina, 3. Have you seen North Carolina play this year? Okay. The write-up. They play Notre Dame first game of the season. -9.5, -10 favorites, about that area. Watch out for Notre Dame. They're going to cover this +10. It's going to be a close game. I wouldn't be surprised if Notre Dame fucking went. Dude, they blew them out, but like, come on, bro. North Carolina's number 3. Very well coached. All these teams are very well coached, but North Carolina has that edge right there. So you got 1, 2, 3. Louisville, Michigan State, North Carolina. I'm going to go ahead and put Kansas 4. I'm going to go ahead and put Maryland 5. And I'm going to put Duke 6. I don't think Duke will stay this low for the whole season, but I haven't seen anything yet. Show me some. Show me some. Sure, they have a great, impressive win. Talk to me in 10 games. Let's see where Duke is at in 10 games. Okay, so now you got Louisville 1, Michigan State 2, North Carolina 3, Kansas 4, Maryland 5, Duke 6, right? And before I get shit for this, oh, you're fucking crazy. Just remember how much these rankings change. And this is just now, 5-6 days into the season, okay? Two or three games into the season. Okay, so we're up to 6, Duke 6. 7, Virginia. And believe me, I'm tempted to put Virginia over Duke as well, but I just can't disrespect Coach K like that just yet, but we'll see. Virginia is a better team than Duke, though. I believe that. I truly believe that. I think Virginia should be top 6. So I'm switching it again. Fuck it. I can do this. It's my show. Virginia 6. Duke 7. Every time I think about it more, Duke keeps dropping. 7. Gonzaga. Nope. Villanova 8. Gonzaga 9. And rounding out the top 10, I have to do this. They have one of the best freshman classes of all time. Again, Coach Cal needs to learn how to fucking coach these young guys, though, early in the year. I guarantee you Kentucky by the end of the year is a completely different team like they always are. Kentucky 10. They'll be top 6, 7, maybe even top 3 by the end of the year. You never know. Freshmen change. Freshmen are not freshmen 10 games into the year. Then they're fucking juniors by fucking game 15. One of the best coaches ever said that, by the way. Bobby Knight. So Kentucky, number 10. So we got one more time. Louisville 1, Michigan State 2, North Carolina 3, Kansas 4, Maryland 5, Duke, Maryland 5, Virginia 6, Duke 7, Villanova 8, Gonzaga 9, Kentucky 10. Okay, that's the top 10 right there. I like that. I like that a lot. And I think I'm right. And if I'm not right, whatever. Then we got... All right, I got to bring up this next graphic for me here. Well, I'll just go. Okay, we'll go... Let me see what I see in the 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, and 16 area here. Ah, man, I don't know. This is tough. Let me look down a little further. Oh, yeah, okay. Oregon is at number 14, according to them. Oregon is my number 11 team right now. Yes, sir. You'll see why. You guys will see why. Trust me. You will see why. Oregon, 11. Okay. Memphis, I want to put 12. I want to put Memphis high. The whole issue with James Wiseman, the whole fucking Anthony Hardaway. By the way, Matt at Jersey Way Betting, if you're listening to this, you know you're my guest. You better listen to every podcast. It's so funny that I mentioned Shaq and Penny Hardaway the other day to you that you don't remember. He's 19. He doesn't remember the Shaq. He remembers Dwight Howard days of the Magic. He's a Magic fan. So I was like, I spoke too soon and I was like, oh man, it must have been nice when you had Shaq and Anthony Hardaway. It's been tough since then. He goes, Penny Hardaway? He had no idea fucking. I don't even know if he knew Shaq was ever on Orlando. Anyway, point being, Anthony Hardaway is the coach of Memphis and I think he's fucking up. I think he's fucking up royally here. Listen, man, the NCAA don't play. Granted, James Wiseman didn't do anything crazy. I believe his infraction is he borrowed money from a family friend to fly his girlfriend out to a big-time game. I don't know exactly which game it was. And has since paid back that money. So you can't even... You're telling me, if he was to go to his father and say, hey, Dad, lend me $800 so I can fly my girlfriend out to this game so she can come watch me play. And he was to pay that back, regardless if he paid it back or not. Him borrowing money from his father would be an infraction like this? Because he said he borrowed it from a family friend. What's the difference between a family friend and like a cousin or whatever, you know? You can't take any money for that? It's not even like it was for like a fucking stripper or something bad or anything. And it wasn't for like... That's not an infraction, you guys. Come on, NCAA. I get it. You know, don't... Dude, he's not fucking selling jerseys out of his trunk for fucking $150 or autographed for $300. He borrowed fucking a couple $100 to get a fucking airline ticket because he's already broke because he doesn't even make fucking 2 cents to play for your fucking college that he makes hundreds of thousands just off him alone. Oh, by the way, you sell his jersey with his name on the back and his number on it, right? You feel okay keeping 100% of that profit? Fuck you, college. Fuck you. You know what? The more I think about it, Anthony Hardaway is doing the exact right thing. He's saying to the NCAA, listen, man, you're wrong. You're 100% wrong here. I'm a man. I've been doing this basketball shit, this NCAA shit my whole life, NBA my whole life. You guys are wrong here, and I'm going to stick up for my player, and I'm going to play him anyway. The problem is the NCAA don't play, man, and... If they do find him ineligible, which they essentially already have, not only are they going to get punished, Wiseman will never play another game, at least for this season, maybe for 2 seasons. Every game that's been played by Memphis so far this year with him in it will be nixed. It will either be called a no contest or a win for the other team or a loss for them. They will have they will not be able to play in the postseason. No NCAA tournament, which they certainly would make and probably make a run in. Why not sit Wiseman? They're a good enough team without him to win these last 2 or 3 games that they played already. And wait for the ruling. You know, they got I don't really understand it. They got a restraining order through court. I don't know who they got it from or against. Like, Wiseman got it against the NCAA. I don't understand it. Like, this is ridiculous. Like... All games should be stopped until you get a definitive answer. Anthony Hardaway and the AD and Memphis University should have went to NCAA and say, listen, I want a decision on this and exactly why this is the right decision in you guys' opinion. Show me the rules and everything, which they'd probably be fucked with, but maybe they get away with it. But at least show me. Don't make me make a decision that I want to play my best player because I don't think what he did was wrong. And then I would have to face dire consequences as a first-year coach. You know? Talk to the NCAA. Say, listen, we're not playing another game. We'll forfeit every game for the season. Wiseman should play. Tell us exactly why he can't play. He borrowed fucking $650 or $700 for an airline ticket that he has since paid back to fly his girlfriend to one of his games so she can watch him play? Jesus Christ. I could see both sides, but NCAA, lighten up. Okay, enough about Memphis. They're my number 12 team right now with Wiseman. That's going to change a lot. Okay, this is going to be controversial. Utah State. I like them a lot. Utah and Utah State. Utah State, number 13. Okay, so that's up to 13. Let me see who I left out in the top 15, according to them. So far, I left off. I'm up to top 13. So the top 10, 10 was Kentucky, 11 was Oregon, 12 Memphis, 13 Utah State. Now, 14, oh wait, I left off. Texas Tech, Seton Hall. I already have Oregon in there. Oregon's 11. Sorry, this picture basically, it was a double. It's a double. I'm gonna put Florida. So wait, I gotta mark this up on both these pictures now. Fuck. Now you know what I'll do. I'll do this. Choo-choo. Edit the picture. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Okay, perfect. Sorry, guys. I'm just doing this for my records. So now it is. Okay, so the only one out of their not top 11 that I have not ranked yet is Texas Tech, who they have at 11. Who I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to say Seton Hall lost today, didn't they? Or no? Either way, I saw that team. I'm not impressed. I'm going to put Washington at 14. Say what you will. Put Washington at 14. I like this team a lot, this Washington team. I also think Washington State University is going to fucking get into these rankings eventually, too. Washington, 14. Arizona, 15. St. Mary's, 16. Okay. Seton Hall, 17. Florida, 18. Ohio State, 19. Okay, now it's tough. I'm taking LSU out of the top 25. I'm replacing LSU with VCU. Let me just double, triple check that VCU did beat them today, correct? Because if not, I'm going to look like a fucking idiot for that one. But I always thought VCU was a better team than LSU. And yep, they beat them by 2. Going into halftime, VCU was up by 12. So that's an impressive win. VCU was not ranked. 23 was LSU. I said they were overranked. So I am putting VCU in at... Where am I at? 16, 17, 18. VCU is 18. Marquette is 19 after what they did today. Tennessee's a tough one. Purdue's out of the top 40. Utah, there they are, 20. Utah's 20. Xavier, 21. Baylor, 22. And Auburn, I'll go ahead and give Auburn 23. I'll be nice. And then you got Missouri. I'm sorry. I'm going to put Houston at 24, and I'm going to take a shot at Tennessee at 25. So that's the top 25. Let me give you the top 25 one more time. My top 25 on November 13th goes like this. Number 1, Louisville. That will stay like that forever. Number 1, Louisville. 2, Michigan State. 3, North Carolina. 4, Kansas. 5, Maryland. 6, Virginia. 7, Duke. 8, Villanova, 9 Gonzaga, 10 Kentucky. I'm going to leave them in the top 10, giving them the benefit of the doubt that Evansville was a fluke. Then after that, we go from 11 onward now. Oregon, 11. Memphis, 12. That's sketchy. Memphis could go anywhere from 12 to 100. 13 is Utah State, and I'm going to change 14 to Utah. Utah is 14 for me, which makes Washington 15, not 14. Which makes Arizona 16. Which makes Seton Hall... Which makes St. Mary's 17, Seton Hall 18. 19 is going to be whatever was 18, which was VCU. VCU is 19. 20 is going to be now... The fuck was my 19? Oh, Marquette, 20. 21 is going to be Utah. 22 is going to be Xavier. 23 is going to be fucking, who was it? Tennessee. And then 24 is going to be Auburn. And 25, I'm going to round it out with Xavier. So that's my top 25. Any thoughts, feedback? Hit me up on Twitter. Let me know. I'm going to cut this short. 20 minutes. Perfect. And I'll be right back with the NBA rankings, and that'll be quicker, I hope. Let's go. All right, let me give you my NBA rankings as far as November 13th, Wednesday. Let me just check the finals. I did check the finals. I just don't want to speak out of turn here. Memphis beat Charlotte by 2. I was on Memphis, by the way. Philly lost to Orlando. That's not surprising, but they lost by 15. A little bit surprising there. Didn't have Embiid. Boston, my strongest NBA bet of the day. They were around minus 7 when I told everybody to buy that to a minimum of minus 6.5, minus 120. Personally, I bought it to minus 5.5, minus 140. Price only matters when you lose. They won by 7. So if you didn't buy the point, you pushed. You didn't lose, but you pushed. That's a, you know, a $50 to $150 win. More for me. Or a push, you know, whatever you want to do. You don't want to buy the points, don't buy the points. Boston won 140 to 133. Defense optional. A little bit surprising. Houston beat the Clippers. I didn't bet that game, but I'm a little surprised that that Houston beat them by 9. Spurs lost to Minnesota. I have no read on this fucking Minnesota team. They've lost me so much money. They won me money, surprisingly. I don't know. I was high on the Lakers today. Golden State, come on. Lakers 9-2 now. Listen, all the shit I talked about, LeBron, the Lakers are a decent team. They're better than Golden State, and they're definitely 9 points better than Golden State. So they won 120-94, and Toronto was my best bet. Check my Twitter feed, you guys. Check my Twitter feed. I said it multiple tweets. I said, my strongest NBA bet besides Boston is 100% Toronto plus 3. It actually closed at plus 3.5. Didn't need it. They won straight up by 8. That was my strongest bet today. Portland, listen, man. Damian Lillard is doing everything he could possibly do. Portland's struggling big time. CJ McCollum, he's doing what he has to do. 8 for 18, 3 for 7 from deep, 6 rebounds, 4 assists, 1 turnover, 1 steal, 1 block, 1 foul. 36 minutes, 19 points, not terrible. Lillard, 9 points, 2 for 12, 2 for 7. So there you go. 10 assists, though. Tries to affect the game anyway. Lillard had a tough game. Rodney Hood, 25, 9 for 15. Hassan Whiteside, 12 points, 29 minutes. Their bench, not great. Simmons, 17 points, 27 minutes, not bad. Bazemore, 21 minutes, 7 points. So Portland doesn't have that much of a bench. They really have to rely on Lillard, McCollum, and Whiteside to have big games every single day. And then they need Rodney Hood to put up 25 like this once in a while and shoot from deep. He's a role player. And they need that fifth man. They need to find a solid fifth man. Hopefully when Pau Gasol gets back into things, they got Zach Collins still. I mean, listen, Portland team's not done. The reason I like Toronto so much is because, in this game particularly, Portland struggles, right? They've been struggling. Siakam playing 41 minutes, 36 points, 15 for 28. He's an all-star. Fred VanVleet, 40 minutes, 30 points. I knew for a fact without Kyle Lowry and Serge Ibaka, they're two of their best players for sure, right? They were both out. I knew Siakam and VanVleet were good enough to put 40-plus minutes in and each have 30 points, and they each did. Awesome. Marcus Gasol did his thing. I mean, listen, he played 35 minutes, 9 points, only took 10 shots, 3 for 5 from deep. Again, center shooting deep. Only 5 rebounds, but 5 assists, only 2 turnovers, 4 blocks. So he did his thing on the defensive end. He was in foul trouble. The other two starters, though, for Toronto, this is where they need Lowry and especially Ibaka. Powell, 2 points, 27 minutes. Miller, 7 points, 7 minutes, 0 points. I don't know what happened to him, but he didn't play much after that. Davis got 30 minutes, 15 points, 5 for 10. 3 for 6 from deep, not bad, 6 rebounds. Can't ask really much more than that from your 6th man. Hollis Jefferson, 25 minutes, 16 points. So Toronto has a more well-rounded team, and even without Lowry, an all-star player, and Ibaka, an all-star player, fantastic for. I mean, Jesus Christ. Ibaka has been great. But Siakam, kid's an animal. VanVleet, amazing. So, anyway, the Toronto Raptors should not have been getting those 3 points on the road, 3.5 points on the road. Let me see if I was, like, in the... I don't think I was in No, I mean, it was pretty even. 53% of the public was on Toronto, 47% on Portland, 52% on the over, 48% on the under. I believe I released as a lean. Fuck. Oh, let me check. Oh, man. You guys know I have the paid packages. And on 11-13, so 11-1, 11-2, 1-1. One play each, win-win. 11-3, no plays. 11-4, Washington-Detroit under, win. 11-4 again, Milwaukee-Minnesota over, 229.5, win. 11-5, Spurs-Atlanta under, 223, win. 11-6, Knicks-Detroit over, 206, win. Again, 11-6. Sacramento-Toronto over 219, win. Memphis, Minnesota under that same day, 224.5, lose. That's my first loss. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 1 so far. No play on the 7, no play on the 8th. Had conflicting data. On the 9th, Houston, Chicago under 233, win. On the 10th, Philly, Charlotte under 213.5, lose. That's my second loss. 11-11, Dallas, Boston over 220.5. 11-12, no play, but a lean was Philly, Cleveland under 220.5, win. 11-13, Boston, Washington over 230. Yeah, that went over quite a bit, huh? And the lean was Portland, Toronto under 219.5. Oh, it was 220, you fucks. Oh, man, by a half a point? Wow. No, you know, listen, my personal bets, I would have bought that up to 220.5 just to be safe, but fuck me. Oh, man, under the first half, under 112.5 the first half, they scored 107. They scored 113 in the second half to go over the 107. Fuck, man, you had to score exactly a half a point. Oh, man, 219.5, they scored 220. All good, that happens. That was just a lean anyway. So, yeah, if you're interested in the packages, holla at me. They're on fire. The totals packages, they started on 11-1. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 wins for the main picks. Two leans. I'll give myself one win for that. So 12 wins, two losses. And 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. Obviously 13 days. Duh. November 1st to the 13th. That's 13 days. 1 day, the 4th had 2 picks. The 6th had 3, and the 13th had 2, including 1 lean. So only 3 days had more than 1 pick. I'd rather put out the best than too many. The day I put out 3, I went 2-1. The day I put out 2, both times I put out 2, they both won 2-0. So, oh, the packages are on fire. So anyway, I just wanted to look over the game scores today, and I'm going to go ahead and give you my top 5 in the West. This is my 5th ranking now in the NBA. You can go back and listen if you want. And then I'm going to give you my top 5 in the East, which is way easier. I'll start in the East, actually. I'll start in the East. And I'm not going to do a top 10. I'm just going to give you top 5 in the East, top 5 in the West, and my top 3 in the NBA total. Okay, so in the East, finally, I can feel confident saying the Celtics are number 1 in the East. Number 2, I have to put the Bucks. Number 3, I have to put the Raptors. Even with these two guys out there playing great. Number 4, I still got to put the Sixers, even though they're struggling mightily right now. I still have to put the Sixers there. I just have to. And then the Heat, rounding up the top 5. Yes, the fucking Heat, 7-3. They look fantastic. This is going to change a lot, in my opinion. I can, for some reason, usually I could drop it down and see the entire Eastern Conference. I'm only getting the top 5 here. Hang on. I don't think I'll change my mind if I see anything else, but let me just make sure. This is the first time, by the way, my Eastern Conference number 1 is also the number 1 in the lead, you know, record-wise. So, Boston, 8-1. Fucking Boston. I told you guys in the beginning of the season, they're my Tampa Bay Rays of the NBA. I bet them a lot. I win with them a lot. So, there you go. Celtics, Bucks, motherfucker. There we go. Here's the top 15. Nothing's going to change. Celtics number 1, Bucks number 2, Raptors number 3, Sixers number 4, Heat number 5. This hurts me. Pacers number 6, I have to. After that's a big drop off. I guess Hawks number 7, I guess. I don't know. Cleveland's oh Jesus Christ. No, the Magic. I'm sorry, the Magic. Even though they're 4-7, the Magic are number 7 for me. Number 8 would be the Hawks. Number 9, I guess the Nets with Kyrie. I guess they get KD back. 7, Wizards. 8, Pistons. Fucking Bulls. I don't know, man. After the top 5, it's brutal. So top 5, I'll give you the top 8 because that's the playoffs, right? Who I think will make the playoffs. Celtics. In no particular order, Celtics, Raptors, Heat, Bucks, Sixers, Pacers. Those are the six teams with the winning records. Celtics, Raptors, Heat, Bucks, Sixers, Pacers. 7-4, 7-3, 8-3, 9-1 Celtics. Then you go 4-6, 4-7, 4-8, 2-7, and 2-9. So that's the top, what, six? I got to give you two more for playoff. Ooh, I would say the Magic, and I would say the Wizards if they get Wall back, but probably more likely either the Bulls or the Hawks. Maybe the Nets. If they get KD back, the Nets 100%. The Nets would definitely be number six or number seven. Number eight then would be fought for probably and won by the Magic. That's my opinion. I think the Magic is better than fucking... I think they're better than Indiana at 7-4. I really do. They're definitely better than the Hawks, I think. They're better than the Hornets. They're better than the Cavs. I think they're better than the Nets all around. They're better than the Bulls. They're better than the Pistons. They're better than the Wizards. They're definitely better than the Knicks. So I like Orlando here strong to make the playoffs. Then in the Western Conference, I can't... This hurts me to say. Lakers number one. This hurts. And I'm still putting Clippers number two. I don't care. Especially when they get Paul George back. Rockets on a roll. 8-2 the last 10. I don't think that this combination of Harden and Westbrook is going to go great. So I'm going to go ahead and put the Lakers first, Clippers second, Jazz third, Rockets fourth, Timberwolves fifth. No, Mavericks fifth, Suns sixth, Timberwolves seventh, Spurs eighth. Yep, that's my eight Western Conference playoff teams right now. So you got no particular order again. Lakers, Rockets, Jazz, leaving out the Nuggets, Clippers, Mavericks, Suns, Spurs. That's eight, right? Lakers one, Rockets two, Jazz three, Clippers four, Mavericks five, Suns six, Spurs seven. I got to put an eighth in there. Yeah, I'll put the Trailblazers. They'll come around by season then. So that's it. That's my top 10 in each. You want me to give you my top three in the whole league? Okay. Ready? Celtics number one. Lakers number two. Clippers number three. Bucks number four. And that's it. I'm not going any further than that. This podcast went way longer than I ever hoped for it to. Actually, this one only went about 12 minutes and 30 seconds, so I'll release this and the last segment and the long-ass segment, too, for you guys. I gotta listen back to it first. Thanks for listening, guys. I love you. This was just a bonus episode. Free picks coming later today. Welcome back to the Lock and Lock Sports Betting Podcast. It's your boy, and I got a special episode for you today. On today's episode, if you haven't already read the description or the title, this is going to be my Division I college basketball top 15. I would go top 25, but I have to go dig way too deeply into the 30s and 40s and 50s for my top 25. So I'll give you my top 15. This is my opinion. I've already gotten plenty of shit for this in real life. I've argued my stance, and nobody could really argue against me on these top 15. So the top... I say the top two. It's so hard because so much can happen in collegiate basketball, especially what we've seen already so far. Kentucky, tell you right now, they're out of my top 10. Actually, you'll find out where they're at. Louisville, and this is just the intro. This is not the rankings. Louisville's number one, absolutely, 100%, no question about it. Like I tweeted last night, I went to the Champions Classic at Madison Square Garden. Saw the number one versus number two and the number three versus number four. Later that night or the next day, I can't remember. I saw Louisville's first game and their second game. Those two facts, those two games coupled with what I saw with them, coupled with the fact that they are no longer dealing with the whole, and this could be overlooked, this is important, they're not dealing with the whole Patino bullshit scandal issue anymore. They're over that. I think they're like 2 years removed from that. At least a year, but I think 2 years removed from that. Wasn't really that big of a deal anyway. The recruiting class this year, even though they still are, I think, three or four scholarships short, still paying the fucking price for that scandal, that Patino. Patino's a piece of shit. It's so obvious what happened there, but don't get me started. It doesn't matter. They don't need to fucking give out 12 scholarships. You know, they can get... Louisville is so good this year, you guys. I said it here first on November 6th or 5th or 6th podcast. I think the 5th. Before I even saw them play this year, I said just by their lineup alone, their coaching, the AD moves that they made, I saw one practice a behind the scenes thing on ESPN the other day that showed one practice. And then, yeah, so what? I bought tickets to their one public practice that they had at Louisville. Not at Louisville. I can't say the gym I was at. It wasn't in Louisville. It was more north. I was sworn to secrecy. I signed actually a non-disclosure agreement. I'm not even supposed to say I was at that practice. I might have to check with them actually and see if I can even say that much. But it was an open public practice for essentially people interested in basketball. You know, I applied. They picked 75 guys. You know, I wrote them a fucking 2-page like fucking entrance exam letter that you have to do for college and shit like that, like an essay. You know, and I told them why I felt, you know, first of all, my basketball IQ and experience and how long I played, the levels that I played at, while at the same time giving them the cut. See, this is where I play psychological games. At the same time, I'm saying that, like, yeah, I played, told them my high school, told them it was high-level high school, national schedule. At the same time, you know, downplaying it, like, yeah, I know that's not too impressive, but, you know, blah, 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 blah. You know, I've been, anyway, long story short, I won one of the 75 tickets. And the reason you haven't heard about this yet is because I wasn't sure I was allowed to talk about it. I got an email today from somebody who works for the team. And it said basically, you're allowed to disclose you are at the practice starting today, legally. Like, if I would have said something before this, I could have been in big trouble. I don't know what would have happened. I really don't. I don't know what they could have possibly done to me. It's not like I would have gotten arrested. They might have fined me or something. They might have taken me to court. I don't know what would have happened. Definitely wouldn't have been getting any opportunities like that in the future. But anyway, I got that email today about noon. And I was able to see Louisville live. Okay. Now, first thing I noticed, I figured this public practice, they would fucking phone it in. They'd be running 25, 50%. Maybe they run a couple little... They weren't going to show us their plays, their offense that they were going to run under this new coach. We're not going to be able really to get a feel for their defensive, you know, prowess and how much effort they're going to put into the defensive end. All I was expecting to come out of that practice with, it was a 2.5-hour practice. All I was expecting to come out of there with was an idea of how big they are, an idea of the leadership that the seniors and juniors are giving to the freshmen and sophomores, especially the high-ranking coming out of high school freshmen recruits, and maybe just see a couple drills and, you know, see their athleticism and their length. You guys, this was the most fucking intense basketball practice I've ever seen in my life. The coach did not, I don't know if I should say this, not in a bad way, he did not stop cursing the entire time. I think I'm allowed to say that without making him look bad. But what I'm trying to say is motivationally, he wasn't like, you know, you're a fucking piece of shit, you know. It was more like, come on, get the fucking ball. If you can't get there, let him know you can't get there, and he'll go get the fucking ball for you. Your teammates, if you can't get there, let him know you can't get there, and he'll get there faster than you. He's fucking 5 feet ahead of you anyway. Why would you not let him, tell him to go get the ball? I mean, that type of stuff. And it was fucking so refreshing. I've been in these practices before, probably 4 or 5. I seen Coach K practice, and listen, and this is not bragging, you already know this, I played under Coach Bob Hurley, okay? Bob Hurley Sr. So Bobby Hurley is, you know, the fucking Duke great, the whole, you know, Christian Laettner, Grant Hill, that team. He was the point guard. Got drafted by the Kings, Sacramento Kings. I'm pretty sure it's 100% right. And he gets into a fucking, he has two pretty productive years. He starts, I believe, in six man's 1 year, the first year. And I don't know. He put up decent numbers, 2 years. Gets in a terrible car accident, and that's the end of his fucking NBA shit. But I met that guy a bunch of times. He's a great dude, great coach. So I think he's at Arizona now. Is that right? That might be his brother. Doesn't matter. But both those two brothers taught me a lot. His brother, the other Hurley, fucking, he taught me literally how to shoot a jumper properly. Keep your elbow in, blah, blah, blah. I was like 13, and, you know, my jump shot was already my best part of my game, you know. He taught me how to shoot properly, increase my fucking percentage, like, oh, Jesus, a lot. Like, I got to thank him for a lot. And his brother taught me how to handle the basketball, you know. At 6'1", 6'2", lightweight, I was always skinny. The heaviest I ever got was 165 senior in high school. I just wasn't strong enough. I could not be a two guard. You know, granted, my skill set was better for a two-guard type shooting guard where, you know, I could kind of catch and shoot. I could kind of take one or two dribbles and create my own shot a little bit. I couldn't really drive to the hole effectively. I wasn't strong enough to finish at the hoop. But, you know, I have all types of New Jersey records, state records for three-pointers, free throw percentage. You know, I was a shooter. You know, I look at Steph Curry shooting, and this is going to sound so ridiculous, but I have guys in my high school that'll back this up, that have seen me, like, just first in stupid shit. Like, we had an open gym one night, right? Sophomore year, open gym. You go, you fucking, as all you sophomore, it was an all-boys school, so they had to fucking come up with things for us to do. You go into the gym at, like, I don't know, 6 o'clock in the evening, and you plan to sleep over there. You can do whatever you want. Play basketball all day, fucking play whatever sport you could possibly think of in there, volleyball, whatever you want to do. You can sit there and just talk the whole time. I mean, it was fucking cool. You know, it was overnight. You go to sleep if you want, but nobody really slept. I played basketball the whole time, right? Fucking long story short, I don't see these guys from that high school. That was my freshman and sophomore year. I transferred to St. Anthony's my junior and senior year to play ball at a more competitive place, right? I was too good where I was. I was at St. Peter's Prep originally, but it was a great school. I regret leaving there, honestly, except for the basketball. But anyway, that overnight, I actually went to a party about a year and a half ago, and I had not seen this guy literally since fucking sophomore year in high school. Comes up to me, yo, John, right? Delaney, right? Like, yeah, man, what's going on? I remember you, man. Yeah, you're a fucking Botts. George Botsolis was his name. He goes, you know what I always think about you, man? At least once a month. That fucking night at the open gym, man, you were shooting threes from fucking all over the place. Like, from the hash mark, from half court, you were just pulling up. Steph Curry's game reminds me of how I played in high school, especially junior and senior year. I had so much fucking confidence, you guys, from AAU, getting better over the summer, playing high-level AAU. And, dude, I fucking my shot was so insane. I'll never forget the first, and I'm done bragging because this is a humble brag. The first game I played that sophomore year after I played AAU the first year from freshman to sophomore year, summer, I fucking, the first game of the season, right, we had this little corny tip-off play where the center tips it forward. I don't remember the exact play, but the end result of it was me run down. I get a nice bounce pass from the top of the key, and I get a pretty nice contested, easy, wide-open layup, basically. That was my first bucket of the game. Now, any shooter, any real basketball player will tell you that first bucket is important. You get a layup in, you see that ball go through the hoop, that's pretty much it. You're going to be on. Okay, so next trip down the floor. So first of all, let me give you the first fucking 16 points of that fucking first game that year. Right, fucking, that's the first two. Fast break, bounce pass, layup. I go off 2 feet, I Windex. Ah, little 6'2", 6'1". I wish I could dunk, but I couldn't dunk at that point. Dunked once in my life, never in a game. But I fucking Windex with two hands as hard as I could, you know, slap the glass. Ah, these little kids don't want it with us, man. We're playing a public school. We're a fucking collegiate all-boys preparatory school that focuses on sports, and we obviously recruited. And this is a level down from St. Anthony's, where I went my junior and senior year. St. Anthony's, you know, is a whole nother level. But St. Peter's was the top of that, basically, Hudson County, northern New Jersey, the hood, Jersey City. We were always top one or two in that league, you know. Whatever that league was called. What was it called? HCIAA, but there was two divisions. It was a Seglio division and another. We were in the higher division. Anyway, I digress from that first game. I'll get right back to that. But I was never a better shooter at that point in my life than at that point in my life. So this team comes down. They're a public school. We're recruiting, obviously, but a level down from St. Anthony's. But still, you know, our fucking starters were this. It was me at point guard, 6'1", 6'2". I'll give myself 6'2". It's set in the book. I'm only like 6 3/4". Whatever. The two guard was 6'6", John Pecora. He did not miss either, and he jumped through the roof. The three and the four, so this is before the NBA teams and these college teams stopped really having a center. It was just on that, where it was just changing, where like there was no real big centers. It was more like either two guards and three small forwards, or two small forwards and a bigger power forward, or three guards and two small forwards, or two forwards, basically. No centers, right? This team was like a hybrid team. I loved it. It was me at point, 6'1", 6'2", handle on fleek, as the kids would say. Best passer in the league by far, and best shooter in the league. The two guard, John Pecora, 6'6". He could play the 4-3 or 2, but he just happened to fit into the shooting guard role. The three was a guy named And this dude, Stefan, I forget his last name, Stefan something, really light-skinned white dude, right? Tough wrestler kind of guy, fucking jacked. He was like 6'7", 6'6", I'll give him 6'6". John and 2 and 3 were 6'6 each bout. But he looked bigger because he was fucking jacked, you guys. I don't know if he was doing steroids at that age, I don't know, but he was fucking, it's just a rock, man. He was huge, so much stronger than everybody else. But at the same time, you know, he was a senior, I'm a sophomore, you know, looking at that, you know, an 18-year-old and a 15-year-old is a big difference, but still, he was fucking one of the biggest basketball players ever, and it affected his game negatively. He couldn't fucking, he was too tight. Then the 4 and the 5, which basically there were just really 2 fours, one was 6'11", one was 6'9", and the 6'9 guy could jump through the roof. The 6'11 guy could shoot fucking 15 to 18 foot jump shots. This team was sick, you guys, okay, sick, and it was a perfect amount of 2 senior starters, 2 junior starters, and me as a sophomore. That was the varsity team my sophomore year. That was the starters. We had one guy that would get subbed in, and he would play maybe 8 minutes. The starting five just played. We didn't need subs, man. We were so well coached, and you're in such great shape at that age. We could have played fucking 18 games in a row, which we did when AAU came around. We played 8 games in one day, no joke, and we were fine. But anyway, every fourth quarter, the other team would get tired, and we would just fucking start to blow them out. But that first game, this is how I knew it was going to be a good season. By the way, this season was 27-0. We made it to the Tournament of Champions, which was the last 4 best teams in the whole state of New Jersey. It was us. It was St. Anthony's. It was St. Patrick's, who at the time had fucking Al Harrington. Ever heard of him? You younger guys might not, but Al Harrington, yeah. He was a senior when I was a sophomore. He put up 67 on us. No big deal. Future NBA player. Future starting NBA player. Al Harrington. Heard of him. St. Patrick's, New Jersey. It was him. St. Anthony's had 2 guys. I wish I could remember their names. They played overseas and like high-level D1. Elijah something. Fuck. And then the other team was Camden. Camden. And Camden had a guy named DeJuan Wagner. Ever heard of him? 101 points in a game, high school, New Jersey. Yeah, played against him. He was a fucking junior when I was a sophomore. So I played against him twice, and he was incredible. I don't know whatever happened to him. I know what happened to him. I'm not going to talk shit about him. Anyway, so that first game, we were playing Union Hill, right? A team that should not have been in the same gym with us. Fucking, I get that layup. We get like 3 steals in a row, and every fast break on those 3 steals, this is what happened. Either I stole it or the 2 guards stole it, the 6's 2 guard. Before the other 3 guys on our team and before really anybody got back on defense, we were already running the fast break. We were already past half court. He would just dribble, fucking power dribble right to the corner of the free throw line. I would stretch right out to the 3-point line. And he was such a good passer on those fast breaks that he would just stop, not even look at me, just throw a perfect chest pass to the perfect location, perfect rotation on the ball. I would just catch it and just bang. First one, bang. Nothing but net. Well, actually, that one hit the rim, rattled in. So whatever, bang, bang. No doubt about it. Next steal, same thing. I steal it. I kick it up court to him. By the time he hits the corner of the free throw line, I'm already, you know, on the wing, you know. This one's a little deeper. Now, this one's about 2 feet behind the line. Bang. Okay, third possession down for them. They try to throw a pass inside. The 4 taps it out, post up. He fronts him, taps it out. I get it. Again, push it up court to fucking my 2-guard, John Pecora. He dribbles up, 6'6", great handle, fast. White dude, great. He gets double teamed. Now they're getting smarter. They're getting back on defense. They double team at the free throw line. They don't account for me. I bang a 3rd 3. Boom, timeout them, right? 20-second timeout. Come out of the timeout. We steal the inbounds pass. Now, the first pass after they steal the side out of bounds, I forget who stole it exactly. He kicks it to the corner. Guy gets double teamed from my team in the corner. So now somebody's open. This dude throws over his head. He was 6'9". The 2 defenders who were double teaming him did a good job at double teaming him. We're like 6'3 and 6'4 max. He just threw the ball right over his head. Fucking 50-foot pass to me. Now, I catch this ball. My fucking heels are about 1 inch from the out-of-bounds line. Now, I hit the last 3. I got the last fucking 12 points, whatever it is. 3 threes, 9, 11 points, plus 2 free throws, 13 points. So, I'm at least 5 feet behind the 3-point line. My heels are 1 inch to a maximum 1.5 inches from the out-of-bounds line. Now, the crowd in a high school gym is right there at the out of bounds line. The whole area that was right behind me from shooting that was all students. Now, you got about, I would say, a cluster of 60 students in one tight bunch screaming full blast at me. Dudes were standing, like, the out of bounds line was, like, thick. You know, it was, like, 3 feet, one of those 3 feet long lines. Dudes were standing halfway on the paint, screaming in the back of my head. Ah, meanwhile, as this is happening, and I'm already knowing, I'm throwing this up. I got a guy right under the basket. I could float it right into it, throw him a bounce pass, wide open two-pointer. I'm taking this three as a heat check. I know it before I even touch the ball. Right, I'm already in form. Again, John Bacor throws me a perfect chest pass right to where it needs to be. He knew I like to catch a little bit low into the right. Perfect. I loved it. He was such a team player, right? He wound up being the high scorer for this game. That's how fucking good he was. He actually went to Villanova. Never got any burn. Went to Stony Brook and set all kind of records for that school, Stony Brook University. Not a terrible school, but definitely not Duke of Virginia. But anyway, so... this three, this had to be a fucking, this had to be 2 feet behind the NBA line, for real. And I got 70 people to 80, maybe more, screaming. The whole crowd screaming behind me, right behind me, loud. And then I got the three guys who got back on defense for them running at me full speed. Hands up, all of them, 6'8", 6'4", and 6'3", screaming, ah! Dude, I stopped for a split second, you guys. This was the best feeling I ever had. I'm in the zone at this point. I'm not even thinking. You know, I don't even remember. I saw video of this, footage from this a couple years later, and I didn't realize that I hesitated for like 2 seconds. I let them get close to me. I looked at them in the eye. I actually even turned halfway around to the crowd and then released a shot. In my remembrance, in the fucking zone that I was in, I caught the ball and I released it within a half a second, split second. No, I held on to it. I said, come on, get in my face. Bang. Nothing but net, like a fucking 34-foot three-pointer, you guys. Ridiculous. I was so in the zone. They called another timeout, back-to-back timeouts now. They're like, we got to do something about this shit, right? My teammates are flipping out. Yo, let's go. I'm just like, yo, it's the first quarter. Let's relax. Let's go sit down. I never celebrated. And that's one thing I wish that I would have, because every time I had big games, I was in the fucking zone. Like, I hit a fucking corner dagger three-pointer one time. There was 11 seconds left in the game. We were up by one. The last thing you want a high schooler to do is shoot a fucking three-pointer when you're up one, right? Hold the ball, get fouled, or take a wide-open layup. Those are the only two options in high school, right? I get a fucking 2 feet of space in the corner. I'm launching this three. I drill this three to go up four. In high school, with 8 seconds left, even if it's their ball, it's two possessions. They're not going to fucking, you know what I'm saying? There's just not enough time. The ball doesn't advance past half court. You know, best case scenario for them, they steal our inbound pass, which was not going to happen. They get a quick layup. Then we inbound it again. They're still down two. They foul us quickly. Now there's like 4 seconds left, right? Best case for them is we miss the two free throws, which is not going to happen with our team. And they're still down two, and they have fucking less than 4 seconds to go full court and get a shot off. Not happening. You know what I'm saying? So up four, 9 seconds, you're done. That was a dagger three. My fucking, the three guard, the dude that was jacked, grabs me, lifts me up. Joe, game. That's the game, son. Let's go. And I'm just like, I didn't even realize that there was fucking 9 seconds left. I thought there was, for all I knew, there could have been 4 minutes left. But I think subconsciously, I was so comfortable playing basketball at that point. I knew how much time was left. There was another instance, maybe next season, I fucking stole a pass, and this happened multiple times. I stole a pass, went on a fast break myself. There was one guy in front of me. I pull up from three. I double pump fake, a double clutch in the air because he would have blocked the first one, and I nail a three. Buzzer. I had no idea. Like, how did I know that there was the buzzer? I had no idea. You know, I was just, after a while of playing basketball from when you're fucking 3 years old and having every single thing ingrained into you and you really care and you really take all those lessons to heart, plus you're gifted a little bit with some speed, agility, hand-eye coordination, a little bit of decent size, especially for a point guard in high school. Fucking, you know, I did my thing in high school. I said all that just to prove to you that I was that good of a basketball player. And I had to literally fucking prove this to get into this Louisville practice. I know that was a super long version of getting to that, but listen, I'm a storyteller. It is what it is. So anyway, this was all written down in this essay. I finally get into this Louisville practice, and let me tell you guys, I already gave you a little bit of foreshadowing. It's a great practice, great coaching. It was 2.5 hours the entire time. The first hour and a half was straight conditioning. These guys did nothing. They didn't touch a ball. There was no basketballs present. They fucking literally, except for a couple drills, but they went from like, I'll give you an example. They went from like, they would start in the corner of the court, right? They would make a line, a straight line across the baseline. Fucking first guy would go, boom, sprint to half court, you know, slap half court. Okay, so now you're on the right side out of bounds line. You run up that line to where half court meets the right out of bounds line. Slap down two hands or, you know, get into the defense position. Defensive slide all the way across half court to the other side of the court. Hit the corner of the left out of bounds and the half court. Sprint full court to the next baseline. Again, defensive slide across. Now you're going right to the corner of the baseline. And then fucking backpedal to half court again. Slide across half court. Slide back. And then slide back to where you originally started from, right? Every time somebody would get, you know, to half court, the next guy would go, next guy would go, next guy would go. I've never seen outside of high school or even grammar school a college practice like this. These guys were going 110%, 110%. They were flying. And, you know, as soon as the first guy would be done, he would be just the whole time cheering on the next guy. Let's go, let's go, let's go. More effort, more effort, more effort. It was unbelievable. And this was an hour and a half of these drills. So they did that. Then they did fucking suicides. They did suicides in between every conditioning drill. It was out of fucking control. I've never seen... And these guys are going to be conditioned in the second half. I have no worries that fucking Louisville can play 800 overtimes and still have more energy than any other team. Listen, I'm not going to go too much deeper into the practice, but what they did, hour and a half of conditioning, full speed, 100%, 110% effort. And the coach kept saying, every 10, 15 minutes, coach would say, you don't give 110% effort now in practice, you're not going to give 110% effort in the game. It was like basic shit, but it's shit that's basic that high-level D1 college players tend to forget, you know? And even some D-level coaches, definitely NBA coaches, they forget that effort is fucking 90% of it. You know, it's 10% mental, 90% effort. You know, physical is physical. You're not going to out-physical most of these guys. So, you know, like, oh, man, it was great to see these dudes, I mean, just fucking busting their ass. And the coolest part was to see, you know, as on some teams what happens is you got your starting five. You got the rotation players, maybe that's 9. You might have 15 players on a team, 12 minimum, right? So if you got 9 rotation players, which is stretching it for a lot of teams, that's a lot. Some only have 7-8 in college. Some only have 6. Look it up. This team... I couldn't tell after the starting five. I knew who the first 7 rotation players was before I got there. I know these guys. After that, I could not tell who was going to get burned, who was going to get real playing time in this season. I had no idea. They were all giving the same effort. They were all cheering each other on. You know, sometimes like the starters sometimes can look down on the guys who, you know, the white guys at the end of the bench. Come on, I'm not talking out of school here. The guys who are cheerleaders, you know. They practice players, sure. They get the respect of, yeah, they made a D1 basketball team, but they're not going to go further than this season or maybe their senior season in this D1 program, and they're never going to get any playing time except when they're being blown out or blowing somebody out by 50. You know what I'm saying? And even then, they'll get 2-3 minutes, and it is what it is. They're practice players, and they're okay being that. You know, and that's fine. That's fine. Some people aren't, you know, just not good enough physically. But for me, and what I saw, which impressed me in this Louisville practice, this open practice, was they all practiced the way I practiced because I always knew I was too small. I was too skinny. I wasn't strong enough. I wasn't fast enough. I didn't have good enough handle until my senior year. I wasn't quick enough, but the extra 90% effort that I give when people only giving 70, 60% effort relying on their talents, my effort will be better than their talents. Now I'm fucked if there's a guy, you know, a future NBA player or future even overseas player, and they work as hard as I do too, I'd be fucked, but I never ever found one of those guys, you guys. That's why Kobe, That's why Michael Jordan, these guys get respect at the highest level in NBA because they're the type of guys that would never fucking take, would never, go watch, okay, watch LeBron play. Tell me how many plays, and be honest, even if you're a LeBron fan. Even watch Kawhi. Kawhi does it. James Harden does it. Russell Westbrook does it more rarely, but he does it. These guys take plays off. These guys will play defense 60, 70% to save up. Come on, man. Even offensive possessions. Look at LeBron. LeBron will fucking take two dribbles, not try to make any kind of move towards the basket, and fucking throw a pass, a meaningless pass to the fucking corner or something or whatever. You know, these guys take time off. That's why LeBron will never, ever, ever be in the same conversation as Kobe or Michael Jordan. You know? And I used to be on the train, listen, LeBron's the best player. He's the best player. He's really not. He's the most physically gifted player ever, for sure. Okay, he's legit 6'9", you guys. Legit 6'9". He's a legit 285 pounds. That's fucking huge. For him to be able to run, I guarantee you he could play any sport. He could be a high-level MMA fighter. He can be an NFL wide receiver. He could probably play tennis with the best of them. He's an athlete. He chose basketball, okay? Michael Jordan, you saw what he did when he played baseball, right? Put LeBron on the baseball field. Give him 2 years. Listen, man. Listen, he'll be better than Michael Jordan on that field. Jordan was a basketball player. He had the physical gifts, not as much as LeBron, but he could only play basketball, and he knew that he had to outwork people. That outwork people, that's what Kobe did too. How many times you hear, oh, man, Kobe after the game fucking gets back to L.A. after the flight at 3 a.m., he's in the gym at 3:30 taking fucking 2,000 shots. How many times have you heard that story? That's not bullshit. Michael Jordan would do that. LeBron doesn't do that. James Harden doesn't do that. These fucking guys in the NBA now, it hurts me to say. Kawhi Leonard and the Greek Freak are my top two. Beginning of the season, I say Kawhi Leonard's the best. There's no doubt. Kawhi Leonard takes possessions off and it fucking drives me nuts. Giannis, I'm going to try to say his last name, Okitapoko, the Greek Freak, you know who I'm talking about. If he develops that killer instinct that Kobe and Michael Jordan were famous for, and he could string together 3-4, a three-peat, or something like that, I truly believe that dude will surpass Michael Jordan. And you will never hear, oh, blasphemy. LeBron is not in the same. He was in the same conversation as Jordan for a while, stat-wise. But when you're fucking, listen, Jordan was 6'6", barely. He was really 6'5 and three quarters. He was small. He was frail. Not frail. He was strong enough, but he was skinny. Different time, different game. As he got older, which is where LeBron's getting now, LeBron's not adjusting. That's another big thing. He doesn't love the game enough. He says he loves the game. He doesn't. He wants to be a billionaire. This move to the Lakers was a business move, not a basketball move. You would never fucking see Michael Jordan make a basketball move, a fucking business move over a basketball move. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? The only time he ever fucking played on a different team besides the Bulls was to fucking play with the Wizards when he was fucking late 30s, way past his prime. And I still wish he wouldn't have done that, but he was still a top 10 player, way past his prime. Ugh. And he only did that so he could fucking, you know, get ownership stake. Anyway, what I'm trying to say is you put Michael Jordan in his prime. You put Kobe in his prime. They're in the same class, but Michael Jordan's will always be a step up from everybody else. Michael Jordan was and is the best to ever play the game of basketball in the entire world, in the history of the world. Okay? Oh, Will Chamberlain. No. Let me tell you something. And if you don't know this, you're a fucking idiot. Not a real basketball fan. Will Chamberlain was 7'1", 7'2". The next biggest guy he played against was like 6'5". Yeah, unstoppable. It was like an NBA player playing against a D3 college school. Okay, stat builder. Fine. He's not on anybody's Mount Rushmore. That's for sure. You know, he's a stat padder, and that's fine. He did his thing. Giannis, I think. Oh man, he's just not as good as Jordan, man. Jordan, you know. Even before he started getting older and adjusting, even before he developed that fucking absolutely 100% undefendable fadeaway jump shot, And he started, if you watch his early games where he started doing that shit, started at the block. He was shooting corner threes, fading away, fucking. He would fade away like 4.5 feet away from his defender. Like, undefendable. And when he's hitting fucking 85% of those shots, you know, that's undefendable. That's 10 years after he's dunking from the free throw line. 10 years after he averaged fucking 30 points. I mean, Jesus Christ. You look at all the records. When you see the crazy records, like just the other day, I saw Trae Young. He's one of three. Trae Young is one of three. I'm sold on Trae Young, by the way, just off the record. Trae Young's an NBA legit point guard. If he keeps doing what he's doing, he's exciting. He can shoot his ass off. He's got fucking great handle. His defense is surprisingly good. And he just needs to pass a little better. And him with the killer instinct would be a problem. Only three guys under the age of 22 had one or more games where they had 40 points and 10 assists. Three guys. Ready? Are you ready? If you watch SportsCenter, you know already. Michael Jordan did it four times. LeBron James did it twice. Trae Young has done it twice already. Trae Young's what, 20? He's got two more years to do that. Okay, Trae Young, show me something, baby. Show me something for sure, especially his handle. But point being there, even when you have those elite lists with LeBron and Michael, Michael still has two times the amount. And there's, you can't change that number. That's, he's over 22 now. Four times Michael did it, two times LeBron did it. Anytime where, okay, fucking LeBron has this many finals MVP. Oh, that's cute. Jordan had six finals appearance, six finals wins, and six finals MVPs. You can't beat that. Where LeBron's at now, and I'm getting off track here. This was going to be a fucking college basketball ranking. It's turning into, it was going to actually be a college basketball top 15 and then the NBA top five in the East, top five in the West, and top 10 overall. It's turning into just a whole nother thing, and that's fine. Maybe it might be good content. I'll listen back to it. If I like it, I'll upload it and hope you guys enjoy it. But my point being, what I was just trying to say there was, LeBron's already did too much damage. Listen, even if he was half the player Michael Jordan was, and he's not, he's just a physical freak. He's 3.5 inches bigger than Michael Jordan. He's fucking 140 pounds heavier. Like, Michael, LeBron James coming down, you know, on a fast break at you, it must be a legitimately scary sight. Like, legitimately. I don't care how big you are. I saw LeBron play live 16 times, maybe 17 times. I sat in the first five rows, five of those games. And his athletic ability for his size, his speed, his quickness, what he can do on the court, and especially my favorite part of his game, his vision. He's one of the best passers in the game. Yeah, he's not half the player Michael Jordan was, and I'm sorry. He gets these crazy stats, triple-doubles, you know, 40, 10, and 10, rarely nowadays, but he, you know, he was impressive on Cleveland. Listen, man, the day he left Cleveland for Miami, boom, you get a strike against you there. The day he left that Miami team because he wasn't happy anymore, went back to Cleveland, strike against him. He wins a fucking championship with that Cleveland team. Okay, I'll give him a strike for him. He leaves for fucking LA? Why the fuck did he go to the Lakers? Somebody please explain this to me, because I've not got a good answer, not from Stephen A. Smith, not from fucking, Rick Abadaka, who, if you do any research, is still, I believe, the scoring leader in Northern New Jersey. Went to North Bergen High School, public high school. Went on to Hofstra. Went on to play against LeBron 20-plus times when he played for the Puerto Rican national team, when he played against the quote-unquote dream team, the American national team, when the best of the best played, when LeBron, Carmelo, fucking that team. And Rick is an honest fucking basketball player. He's 6'3", 6'4", point guard, starts for the Puerto Rican national team. He's getting old now, but he started for 15 years. I used to love watching him on TV because, you know, he's a local guy, you know. He was a senior in high school when I was in eighth grade. So I went to a camp, eighth grade to freshman year in high school camp, and he was one of the counselors there. And he taught me so much about basketball and how to be a point guard, because I was moving from shooting guard to point guard, which is the move he had to make. And he taught me a lot of shit. And I always looked up to him for that. And anytime I run into him in town during the summer or whatever, or actually he failed off the team. It's after his fucking freshman year because of weed, but he got back into it. But yeah, I spent that whole season he was banned from practice at Hofstra. He didn't take class seriously, so he was in Northbury. He was in my hometown, and I got to spend a lot of time with him. He told me right then and there, he was like, D1 basketball, get that shit out of your head right now. You're a great player. Shoot for D3. You're going to shoot for D1 and be disappointed. I'm just telling you that right now. I shot for low-level D3 Hofstra. I thought I was good enough to go to Duke, but my grades just weren't good enough. This is what he's telling me. He said, going to Hofstra, it's a mid-level, you know, D1 basketball school. You know, got a decent program. He said it was the best move he ever did because it got more eyes on him because now he's fucking putting up 30, 40 points as opposed to sitting on the bench at Duke. You know, he got recruited by big schools. He chose Hofstra, which I think was a smart move. Everybody, when he made that choice, was like, this guy's fucking an idiot. He's garbage. Like, you know, but he knew what was right for him. He was honest with himself, knew he wouldn't, if he did ever start at a high D1 school like Virginia, Duke, Kentucky, any of those schools, A, he'd have to get lucky that these fucking freshman recruiting classes don't stay sophomore or junior year, that he would be able to stay till junior year and fucking be able to become a starter, you know, being developed by like a John Calipari or fucking Coach K. He wanted to start from freshman year. So he did that. It wound up working out well for him. He tried out for NBA teams. He made the D League. He played there for a while. He said, listen, if you guys saw the amount of money these guys make overseas compared to the D League, it's a lot. A lot overseas, especially if you're one of the best. So not only for that, I mean, he was playing in the Puerto Rican League. Then he went over to China. China pays great basketball, guys. He went to Lithuania. He went to like 6 different countries and played professionally, started every single team. And every single year for about 12, 13, 14 years, he started the Puerto Rican national team. Look him up, Rick Apodaca. Okay, I think he's still playing. I would check it right now, but I don't care. I'll see him in the summertime. What I'm trying to say is a big part of this, I wish, all right, I'll admit this much. If LeBron would have never left Cleveland from the jump, and if he would have brought Cleveland 8 championships, 2 three-peats, and 2 other championships, maybe random ones, like with Kevin Love and shit, okay, fine, he's in the Jordan talk. But the fact that this is the problem. It comes a lot to do with personality, but it's more about basketball IQ. LeBron doesn't really give a fuck at the end of the day. You would see Jordan lose on a buzzer beater by the other team, or he would take a buzzer beater for the win and miss it. Rarely, but he would miss it. And he would fucking not shake hands. He would run off the fucking court, run into the locker room, get changed, not do interviews. And before you know it, if he was still in Chicago, as soon as that last fucking fan left of that fucking arena, he was on that court taking shots. Every shot he missed, he was taking 1,000 of them. That's the difference between a fucking Jordan and a LeBron. LeBron misses a fucking game-winning buzzer-beater shot, and he smiles. He goes, ah, my bad. His fucking teammates go, ah, good game, though. You put up 40 and 15. 40 fucking empty points. 40 points in this NBA right now is like putting up 30 or like 25 in Jordan's era. Jordan was putting up 40, 50, 60 fucking points in the fucking 80s. Ugh. I got to be honest with you guys. I was really high on LeBron the first couple years especially. I actually went to his LeBron's 1 year younger than me. I went to the McDonald's All-American game that he played in. That was the first time I saw him live. The difference between him and the other national All-Stars, whatever the fuck that. What are they called? National whatever. McDonald's All-American team. Jesus Christmas, duh. Just the difference in his size for other seniors in high school was just ridiculous. It was just ridiculous. And he was that size since freshman year. So he's always had that size advantage. He's not a great shooter. He's a fantastic passer. Best passer since Magic Johnson, in my opinion. Not a great shooter. Has little to no mid-range game right now. If you notice, he either drives it to the hole, finishes strong as fuck, because that's what he does. He dunks it hard. Or he settles for a 3 and shoots fucking 35% from 3. Right or wrong? When's the last time you've seen LeBron catch it back to the basket in the post, take two dribbles, get close to the basket, shoot kind of a mid-range fadeaway jumper or a turnaround mid-range jumper. I haven't seen it all season. Maybe twice. Okay? When you start getting older, that's the game you have to play. You have to play that mid-range game. That's why I'm so impressed by Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi Leonard's 90% of his game is that mid-range game. That slow, methodical. I'll take 3-4 dribbles. I'm going to let you see what your help defense does before I make any decisions. Let's see what the ball defender does. Is he fucking forcing me left to my weak hand? Is he forcing me right? Doesn't matter. I'll go whichever way he wants me to go, because then I'm just going to spin off him and take a 12 to 15 foot straight up and down jump shot that he has no chance of defending and nail fucking 78% of them. As I'm watching the Clippers lose to Houston as we speak, this is being recorded Wednesday night, November 13th. I already know the outcome of this game. Houston beats Clippers. I'm surprised by that. And as I'm saying that, Kawhi took one of those 15 feet turnaround jumpers, but he came up short with it. But that's what I'm impressed about Kawhi. But there's levels to this shit. Let me tell you this right now. And this, I might take a lot of shit for this. LeBron, in his prime. Okay, LeBron, let's say from age 21 to 27. Is that fair? Would that be his best prime? Kawhi is 28 right now. Kawhi is arguably out of his prime, his basketball prime. No arguments. Basketball prime, 18 to 21. Or, you know, 18 to 27 or 21 to 27, depending on where you get mature enough, right? Kawhi's out of there, 28. He's changing his game already. I already see him molding his game. Don't forget, Kawhi's got fucking 3 finals MVPs with the Spurs, with Toronto, and 2 with the Spurs, 1 with Toronto, correct? Is that right? Could be wrong. He's got rings with 2 teams. Arguably, I can't hear any arguments against this. He would have stayed in Toronto this year. They might be undefeated so far in the year. They might be the favorites to win the chip. Now seeing that Ibaka and Kyle Lowry went down with 2 to 3 to 4 week or worse injuries, good thing he fucking left there. But they're the front runners for the championship team if he stays there. This is hard to say. I was in rehab during the finals this last year, right? I'll never forget. There was these 3. It doesn't matter. They were black guys. You know how black guys talk shit. That's the only point I had to make with that. I love black people. I love you guys. Don't take any offense to that. But you guys talk shit. And you guys talk shit in a way where the way you say it is, you know everything, right? And it's loud, and it's like, all right, this is a perfect example. I said like this to them. This is after weeks and weeks of just letting them go and not me coming back. This is one I had to put my foot down. I said, listen, I don't give a fuck if Kawhi wins this championship or loses this championship. He will not be in Toronto next year. This is one series before the finals. So Toronto was playing Philly, I think. I think they still had to play the Bucks. Yeah, it was the Philly-Toronto series. They were up 2-0. I was watching Kawhi play there. Then the next, this was before the Bucks series and then before the finals. I said that then. I said, Kawhi will not be back in Toronto after this year. What if he wins a chip? Don't he want to repeat? He will not be back in Toronto. He could repeat somewhere else. Why would he leave Toronto? Do I have to break down the contract for you and everything else, what he's thinking right now? I'm not going to. Just know that I'm right. Oh, hell no. White boy, you wrong, baby. You wrong. There's no way. I'm so fucking mad he left the Raptors after I left rehab, because that would have been so sweet. Because I actually made a bet against these guys. I think, what was it? Toronto was up 2-0, I think, in the finals. And I told that same dude, I said, listen, man, I don't give a shit if the Golden State goes down 3-0. Toronto's not winning this series. And I ate my words. I ate my words. But I'll take that loss. But I wish I was there when fucking Kawhi left Toronto, man. Been like, well, I told you, 100% I told you, right? You said absolutely no way. You said 0%. I said 100%. I know basketball, but I wish Kawhi would have stayed. I wish LeBron would have stayed. I wish Russell Westbrook would have stayed on OKC. And I wish KD and Harden would have stayed on OKC. Do you guys remember that team, 08, 09, maybe even later, 12, 13? I don't know. My time is so skewed. It was Harden, six man. Harden, six man. Harden is the leading scorer in the league past couple years. You know, biggest scoring games ever. He was the six man on that OKC team. Russell Westbrook, point guard. most athletic point guard to ever play the game. Argue me on that. Fucking KD, legit 7 foot tall, at least 6'11 and a half, 7 foot fucking two guard, okay, that could play any position. Fucking, who else was on that team? I know exactly who else was on the team, and I don't even feel like going into it because that team was so nasty. If they would have just stayed together, if they were still together now, I swear to you guys, and I fucking mean this, they would have had, especially with each year, if that core would have stayed together, you know, at least the first, at least four of those five guys stayed together. If Harden stayed, KD stayed, Russell Westbrook stayed, and give me one other role player that stayed, and they would have been able to improve each year with, you know, veterans, role players, shooters, you know, guys like that. And I swear I believe this, you guys. That fucking OKC team could have won, oh man, I don't want to go crazy, at least five chips, at least five. And I think five in a row, okay? They would not have, who would have they lost to? The Golden State Warriors with KD and on his team? No, KD's on the OKC. LeBron and who in Cleveland? Kevin Love? Come on, that team was whack. Who? Kyrie and LeBron? No. Nobody's beating the OKC team. The only team that would have a possibility is the Greg Popovich coached Spurs, just because that's how they do. And if Kawhi was still on that Spurs team would have fucking kept winning and winning and winning. If they could have kept, oh my God. That team might be worse, better now, the Spurs. But if they had DeMar DeRozan on that team, just that one switch there, whew, oh my goodness. Take Tony Parker out, put DeMar DeRozan in for Tony Parker. That's a championship team right there for the Spurs. These moving, it's doing more bad than good. Once they got Carmelo Anthony on that OKC team, if they still had KD and James Harden, that would have been nasty. I believe that until Carmelo Anthony came to my Knicks, and I saw him play live 60-plus times in one season. That motherfucker is overrated. If he did not win that championship, luckily, with Syracuse, he would not have been a first-round draft pick. I have that on good authority. NBA fucking well-known people. Stephen A. Smith told me that. He was at the Louisville practice. I'm dropping names. I probably won't be able to release this for at least another week. They have to talk about it first on TV. I can't just break this news. Not that it's breaking news, but I can't mention somebody like Stephen A. Smith, who gets $10+ million a year from ESPN. He has to talk about it first. I can't out anybody or give anybody's business away. That's what I was told by them. Anything else, they would tell me. So they told me a lot. Stephen A. Smith told me a lot. Listen, whatever you think about Stephen A. Smith, this is going off on a tangent, this podcast. I hope you guys enjoy it. I'm going to release it. I don't give a fuck if there's no real theme to it or point to it. I started off wanting to do one thing, and I decided to do another thing. The maximum recording I do segment-wise is 60 minutes. I'm up to 50 minutes. I might come back for a quick little bit more. Might not, but let me try to end this now. I don't know even what my fucking point is. But my point is, I'm not a huge fan of where the NBA is at right now. I'm not a huge fan of the team that shot the least three-pointers last year over the course of the season shot 2,358 three-pointers. I don't like the fact that in a Denver Nuggets game versus the New Orleans Pelicans, the Denver Nuggets take 15 more field goal shots and make 6 more field goals than Denver. Than the Pelicans. However, the Pelicans won that game by 15. By 15! The Pelicans. Why? Because they hit like fucking 18 out of 40-something three-pointers. I love the three-pointer. I'm a shooter myself. We got to figure something out in the NBA to... Man, do I miss the 80s and 90s basketball. I do. But what's really bothering me, I could deal with the threes. That means get better at shooting threes. That's why there's no centers and there's no real power forwards anymore. There's no post-up game anymore because everybody can shoot threes. You got fucking Joel Embiid, a gigantic, strong, legit seven-footer center, stepping out shooting threes. Marcus Gasol shooting threes. Fucking, everybody's shooting threes. Brooke Lopez, the closest thing we have to a legit center, shooting threes. Shaq would be shooting threes, forced to be shooting threes now. Shaq wouldn't, I don't know. Listen to Bill Simmons' Book of Basketball 2.0, his last most recent episode. Check it out. It's all about Shaq and how he would, first of all, where he ranks on the 100 Hall of Fame pyramid that he has, as well as how would his game translate to today's NBA? And my biggest problem with the NBA right now is not the lack of defense, not that fucking Boston and that Boston played fucking, sorry, I'm a little bit distracted. I'm trying to pull that game up. Who did Boston play tonight? I had them and everything. I just didn't even pay attention. It wasn't a great team. It was Boston versus Washington, who's been struggling heavily. 140 to 133. 273 points. Hope you had that over. That's ridiculous. That should not happen. That should just not happen. I don't know, but too many three-pointers. Let me just look at that game. That's a really high-scoring game, especially for Boston and Washington. Let me just go into the three-point stats real quick for that. I'm not a fan of it. But really, the biggest problem, in my opinion, and I'll get into more detail of this on the NBA. I'll do the NBA rankings podcast. And after this, once I reach 60 minutes, I'll come back and I'll just read you off my top 10. Maybe to go top 15, Division I, top 15 college basketball teams. Even though you know Louisville is number one. If Louisville loses more than three or four games this year, I'll be shocked. So let me just give you this. 140 to 133. Washington Wizards have who? Bradley Beal. Can you name anybody else? Rui Hachimura, 9 for 12, 21 points. Isaiah Thomas, yeah, okay. Bryant Brown, I don't know their first names. Got Burtons, I know him. Wagner, Miles, Smith, McRae. And you got John Wall, who's not playing. Matthews, not playing. Robinson, not playing. Listen, man, this team should not have put up 133 points against anybody, especially Boston, arguably the best team in the NBA right now. I'll be making an argument for that on next podcast. And let me go into the 3 points. Okay, Celtics, 49. Each team took 96 shots total. Wizards shot 50 and 96, 52%. That's pretty great from the field. Celtics, one less field goal, 49 for 96, 51%. Free throws, about even. 22 for 27, 81% for the Wizards. 26 for 29, 89% for the Celtics. So Celtics got four more points from free throws. They won by seven. Told you to buy the half point at least. From 7 to 6.5. If you go from a push to a win. Three-pointers. This is where the difference is. 11 of 29, 37% for Washington. 16 of 36, 44% from deep for the Celtics. So that is 27 three-pointers. That's 27 for 35 times plus 30 is 65. That's 37 for 65 if I'm doing my math right. That might be 75. No, 65. So between these two teams, they took 65 three-pointers. 96 total shots. So 65 of fucking 100 and... whatever the fuck. This math is too. 188. No, 198. Yeah, 96 plus 96. 198. That's way too many threes. That's so disappointing to me. I love the long ball, but come on, man. It's the difference in the games. You win the three-point battle in an NBA game today, in this day and age, you will win. Every other stat is almost identical. 49 for 96, 50 for 96. And 22 for 27 from three throws, 26 for 29. But those 4 points got given back by the Wizards' extra field goal. 16 made threes to 11 made threes. That's what? 3 times 5, 15 points. Celtics won by 7. So there you go. It's all about the three-pointers. It's kind of sad. But I guess you adjust and you can hit the threes. Go for it. LeBron can't hit those threes, brother. Listen. LeBron went from one of my top three to top five to top 10 to now he's barely in my top 30 players of all time. Not all time, right now. In the NBA now, active players now. He's number 28 to be specific. And he might keep going, getting lower. I'll tell you who's not fucking that low, who's on the Lakers. Anthony Davis really showing me something. I've seen him do his thing when he was on the Lakers, but now... let me tell you something, man. That dude's legit. The brow. He's up there on my top 10 players, for sure. You got Giannis, of course. I'll just give you my top 10 NBA players right now. Fuck it, right? This is just off the top of my dome, my opinion. After this, I'll come back next segment, give you my top 15 college basketball teams. I'll cut that short, and I'll do another segment. I might release some separate podcasts, and I'll do my top 10 NBA and 5-5 East and West. So I got 3 more minutes to go. Top 10 NBA players go like this right now, in no particular order except the first two. Kawhi and Giannis. Actually, Giannis and Kawhi, 1 and 2 right now. Giannis is bigger. I like his long-range game a little bit better. Defensively, he's just too big. Kawhi is great defensively, of course. Of course. I give the edge there to Giannis, and that's tough. Giannis is bigger, wider, just as quick as Kawhi. Can shoot the mid-range just as well as Kawhi. Stronger to the hoop than Kawhi. Kawhi's mid-range 15 to 18 foot is better. I like Giannis's deep game better, especially this year. I like his handle and his quickness, his one-on-one moves better. I like his passing better than Kawhi. Giannis is a better all-around basketball player today, November 13th. That can change. It could change. Kawhi was my number one for the first week, so don't get it twisted. Giannis has showed me something. His team fucking... Oh, my God. The Clippers losing to the Houston today put Kawhi down a little bit more, too. And the fact that he wanted to pair up with Paul George, again, Giannis still on the Bucks, has not traded teams, still got that same fucking squad going for it again. And I promise you this, the Bucks will be at the Eastern Conference Finals with the Boston Celtics this year. The Final Four will be Boston, Philly, Toronto, and the Celtics. You can maybe make a case for Toronto or Philly each getting knocked out of there, but who's going to replace him? Washington, not with just Bradley Beal. Not the Knicks, that's for sure. So I'll give you my top 10 players real quick. So I only got a minute and 10 seconds left. Giannis, Kawhi, Anthony Davis, Russell Westbrook. God, I wish he didn't join the Rockets. What a terrible move. Chris Paul is number 10. I'm telling you that right off the bat. He's my number one point guard over Westbrook, even though Westbrook's a higher rated basketball player all around, in my opinion. So that's 4. 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 I got to give you real quick. Let me think. I'm not even looking at a list or anything. I'll put Bradley Beal up there. I'll put Damian Lillard up there. I'll put fucking... Who else? I'll put... so many good players. I'll put LeBron up there. Jesus Christ, LeBron, top 10. Go ahead, you fuck. Who else? God, I wish I could put Kyrie there. He's just not. He's top 25 right now. I got to get 3 more for you. I love point guards. Chris Paul, my favorite point guard. No, I'm kidding. All right, I'll put Steph Curry. I'll fucking bite the pull and put Steph Curry. And then Kevin Durant, how can I leave him out? He's top 5. Okay, end of the segment.